Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed. You already know what time it is. D-Hour Radio Network, D-Slate, L-E-O, the brothers is in the building. We want to send a big shout-out to our brother CK. He's taking a break right now, taking a vacation. He'll be back with us sometime next month on the D-Hour Radio Network. So big shout-out to our brother, you know, doing what he do, taking his time to definitely get it in and, you know, enjoy life. But right now, as it is, it's the D-Hour Radio Network, the Tuesday spot. Once again, we're getting it in tonight. And tonight, it goes down as usual. Tonight, we will be talking with the beautiful actress, Miss Catherine Norland, from the new film, Reality Terror Night, is going to be joining us tonight. So we'll definitely be getting it in with her as well. As well as, you know, we got the incredible segments that we have on the Tuesday spot, as always, tonight. Of course, we have Where Do We Go From Here with my brother Elio. D-Slate goes in. Oh, D-Slate got something to say tonight. D-Slate is going in on a specific topic tonight. We will be talking about that a little later, as well as the number one segment. Let me say it again. The number one segment on the DL Radio Network, Real Men Talking, is going down tonight. Our relationship segment. For all the ladies that have questions, relationship questions, that's burning them inside that they want to ask and they want to get out, and they might want to call. Ladies, you might want to call and get your questions in with us tonight, 718-766-4553, 718-766-4553. And also tonight on Real Men Talking, we will be joined by relationship expert. This brother has been on the show quite a few times. Very intelligent. The brother got knowledge. I love having him on. Hopefully, he'll be a regular with us on Tuesdays, you know, for Real Men Talking. My brother, Anthony Rucker, is going to be joining us tonight. So definitely make sure you guys tune in. It's going to be a doozy, I'm telling you right now. It's going to be a doozy on Real Men Talking tonight. So, Elio, myself, my man Anthony Rucker, we getting it in tonight, so definitely make sure you guys tune in and don't miss it. As well as we got all your favorite indie artists, celebrity artist hits. So definitely make sure you don't go nowhere. We got all the music for you, all the hits. And we got the beautiful Miss Catherine Norland is going to be joining us shortly. So definitely make sure you don't go anywhere. Thank you guys so much for joining us. All the fit-ins, that's the DL Radio Network fans. We should call them the D-Team. I call them the fit-ins now. And let me explain that. all the listeners, all the supporters of the Diablo Radio Network from Sunday through Thursday and Saturday, everybody that tunes in, I call them the fit-ins because you're tuning in with us, you're listening to us, you're hanging out with us. That means that you fit in. You fit in our world. You fit in. You hanging out with us, you're listening, which means you fit in, so you are one of the fit-ins. So thank you to all the fit-ins for hanging out with us tonight, as usual. And again, if you are a hip-hop artist, R&B artist, if you're a poet, gospel artist, comedian, actor, actress, you want to be showcased on the Diablo Radio Network, you want to be interviewed on the network, you want us to play your music, you want to spit some poetry, you want to say some jokes, some jokey jokes, whatever the case may be, you can email us at dhourshow@gmail.com. dhourshow@gmail.com, dhourshow@gmail.com. If you have a business or a website you would like to advertise with us on the network, all you have to do is email us again. That email address is dhourshow@gmail.com. Definitely make sure you hit us up, and we'll get all that information for you and try to get you set up on the network, get you where you fit in with the rest of the fit-ins, because they fitting in right now listening to us on the DL Radio Network. So definitely make sure you guys keep it locked. You can also catch up with us on MySpace, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Just search the keywords, The Hour Show. My brother Elio, what's good?
I'm chilling, man. Definitely a quarter of a century now. Just passed a good birthday.
I know
thanks
that, brother. And I want to put it out there to the fans right now, everybody who wants to say happy belated birthday to my brother Elio. How was the birthday, bro?
You know what? I haven't gotten to the point where I had enough time to do what I do. But so far it's been great. You know, it'd be laying on a Monday. You can't do too much. So we plan on turning up this weekend, definitely. And Wasted Wednesday tomorrow. It's a little event that I host every Wednesday. At a local spot, Wasted Wednesday. So, yeah, we're going to be turning up there tomorrow. And the weekend should jump off really good.
Now, bro, let me ask you, how much love did you get on Facebook? Kathy giving out some serious birthday love on Facebook.
They give out a lot of serious
birthday love on Facebook.
I've seen better. But you know what the thing is with Facebook? I fell off Facebook. With so many social networks, I fell off Facebook just a little bit. So that's not the go-to spot that the people usually hit me up on. I got a lot of hits on my cell phone. You know, people jumping out
that's
the
real
woodworks. But I definitely got love. I put a smile on my face. People didn't forget about me. That's always good.
That's what's up. And definitely, Elio, give us a little bit more. He'll give us a little bit more information, ladies, about his spot on Wednesdays. And definitely, if you guys are in the Philly area, definitely make sure you go check it out. And get it in with my brother Elio, because I'm pretty sure if they're turning it up on Wednesday, you can best believe it's going to be turned up. So definitely make sure you guys go out and check that out. Quite a few things to talk about tonight. In the meantime, I want to play some music and get some hits in. I got some stuff I want to talk about, Elio, bro, about shark attacks. I don't know what's going on with these damn sharks, man, but something is going down with the sharks, man, and I think people need to be aware of what's going on and be real cautious when you're out there getting your swim on in a lot of these oceans off the coast of Florida, California, Hawaii, Australia, you know, Texas, you know, whatever the case may be. I think you guys really need to be paying attention to what's going on. And I'm going to dish out a little information about that for you guys a little later, as well as Dee Slater's going in tonight. I got a topic. Tonight my topic is about racism, and I got a real serious issue I got to speak about tonight, as well as we got Where Do We Go From Here with my brother Elio. Real Men Talking, Dee Slater, Elio, my man Anthony Rucker joining us for Real Men Talking tonight. I'm telling you guys right now, it's going down. In a few minutes, we'll be talking with the beautiful Miss Catherine Norland, who's going to be joining us tonight and talking with us about our new horror film, Reality Terror Night. We'll be talking with her about that. So definitely make sure you guys don't go nowhere. It's going down on a Tuesday 5, D-Slate LEO, the brothers of the Diablo Radio Network is in the building. I got some Emile LaRue, some Marcus Houston. It's going down, people. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
I dream of your nights, daytime too. Like someone sent me something, not something new. Almost walked into a wall, imagining your embrace. Had to slam myself out of the fall of this, and I haven't it taste. And the sensation is real, the blood rushes into each place as if you were here. Get you to see, got me afraid of you. So far, sometimes I forget to breathe. Got me afraid that whatever you are, is where I have to be. Faces are fading, replaced with yours. Bodies are changing into your beautiful form. Won't you feel your pulse beating inside mine? Won't you press against me? If you don't, you'll die. And the sensation is real. The blood rushes into each place as if you were here. I didn't need to. Cool dilation. Heartbeat racing. This evocation got me afraid of the rapture stirring inside of me.
coming on, I wanna turn around. And I know it might seem crazy, but I'm not as you love me, girl. But I'm not gonna run no more. And girl, I'ma give you love a try.
The typical guy, they gon' just fly. This gon' be hard, not just a walk in the park. Start forgetting the bitch that broke my heart. Checking it out on you, it's something I don't wanna do. Long apart from the ways, remove the grace from my darker days. Realize this book just ain't the same. I had to turn the page. Why become the man that I'm supposed to be? Girl, get over here, you know I want that every close to me.
Some statistics are surprising, some are unbelievable, and some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%, and that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Yeah, welcome back. D-Hour Radio Network, the Tuesday spot. D-Slate, Elio in the building, the brothers of the D-Hour Radio Network. Getting it in for you guys tonight. Those were the two new hot singles. That was the hottest single right now by Mr. Marcus Houston, Give Your Love a Try, and the new hot single by the beautiful Miss Emile LaRue, Afraid. Make sure you guys go to iTunes and definitely check out the new singles by Emile LaRue, Afraid, and Marcus Houston, Give Your Love a Try. Also, check out the new videos, their new videos on YouTube, and definitely it's some hot singles. They got some hot music coming out right now, and make sure you guys definitely check it out. It's some great music. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's our pleasure to introduce our guest for tonight. Actress, author, mother, wife, mentor, straight talker over the relatively short time Catherine has been in Hollywood. She has acted in nearly 100 films. Catherine has a many-layered personality, the perpetual optimist, accidental leader, loving caregiver, rising star, and undiscovered genius. There's no doubt about gentle influence over everyone around her. Catherine seems to be for those hard-surfaced social wolves who end up showing their sheepish side after only minutes of speaking with her. She is a bleeding heart with a cauterized wound. She's a very talented actress, adept at doing comedy and drama. She's a solid thespian with the ability to make you feel something even when not saying a word, a rare gift for any actor. She's also fearless and easy to work with. She's a writer and director's dream. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm D. Alba Radio Network welcome to the beautiful Miss Catherine Norman.
Wow, listen
well, hello,
to all
Catherine.
That clapping. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing? Thank you so much for joining us tonight. It is definitely our honor and our pleasure to have you on the show with us tonight. So thank you so much for joining us.
Awesome. Happy to be here. So what's going on?
Well, we're having a ball tonight. We're enjoying ourselves. We've got some great things that we're going to be discussing on the show tonight. I was telling everybody I wanted to bring up this issue that that we're having all over the world, and more so in America, with shark attacks.
Which is what?
Shark attacks? I've been noticing that we've been having some really frequent shark attacks. And normally throughout the year, you know, you would always hear about maybe no more than maybe 7 or 8 shark attacks. In last year alone, there was 80 shark attacks.
Oh, why do you think that is?
Which is, I'm really not sure. Some of the experts, they think that it could be possibly because of the pollution that we're putting in the water, in the oceans, and as well as, you know, all the fishing and all the fishing that we've been doing, that we're taking away from their food sources. So that's one of the reasons why that the sharks are moving a little bit closer to the shore.
Both of those seem very plausible. When you mentioned the first one, I kept thinking, when you talk about pollution, that all those chemicals, and I kept thinking of, like, sometimes people get reactions from certain medicines they're on, and the chemicals make them more aggressive, you know, students
exactly.
in school and stuff, and interesting.
Oh, yeah, it's very interesting. And I got a few, you know, fun facts and a few important facts for everybody about that tonight. So definitely, you know, we got some really great information. We got a, you know, one of our number one segments, Real Men Talking, where we, you know, we have relationship questions. You know, we like to, you know, we know women have a lot of questions, relationship questions about men, and on this segment we answer those questions.
So we got
some pretty good stuff going on tonight, but definitely, you tell us what's going on with Catherine right now. What's going on with you?
Well, first off, I want to give a shout-out to Bronx Bridge Entertainment and Al Bravo Studios. It's because of them that you guys asked me to come on and talk about reality
Absolutely.
Terror night.
Absolutely. And I'm a big horror fan, so that, you know, Priscilla knew that that was right up. Oh, yeah, Priscilla knew that was right up my alley. So definitely when she told me about it, I said, oh, yeah, I want to get all the ladies, all the actresses on the show so we can talk about that. But definitely, I'm a big horror buff, so I was very intrigued.
Nice. You've seen them all, high budget, low budget, everything in between.
B movies, C movies, D movies, I've seen them all.
Oh, that's great. Well, what do you think? What do you think makes a great horror film, in your opinion, since you've seen so many?
You know the great thing about it? I think that, you know, sometimes when I talk about this, I tend to go back to some of the classic movies, you know, some of the classic horror movies from the 70s and the 80s, because, and even a few in the 60s, and when I say that, it's mostly because I think a great horror movie should have you on the edge of your seat almost throughout the whole movie. And I think that a lot of directors and a lot of producers today, you know, some of the newbies, and I think even the new audience, I think that they think that what makes a horror movie is all about blood and guts and, you know, a lot of murders. And I don't think that's what makes a horror movie terrifying. That's not what makes a horror movie interesting. Because when you think about one of the known scariest horror movies of all time, The Exorcist, you know, when you think about that movie, there was only maybe one or two deaths in that movie. But, you know,
that's
even
true.
Today, after 40 years, you know, after 40 years, it's still known as the scariest movie of all time. You know,
oh, my
and
goodness.
I think it had
Did you see the remake that came out a few years ago?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
I went to see it on my birthday, and, oh, man, going to sleep that night. When she's going down the stairs backwards, oh, my gosh.
That's what I'm talking about. It's things like that. And when I saw that, and that's one of the few scenes that they cut out of the original movie, and I asked myself, why would they cut out of the original movie? I'm like, that would have gave the movie a bigger edge. Showing that particular scene and any other scenes that they cut out. But again, you know, I mean, it wasn't a lot of blood and guts. It wasn't a lot of murder, but, you know, the score, you know, the music, camera angles and just different things that was going on in the film. I think that's what really makes a great horror movie. And for instance, you know, if I want to bring up a new horror movie, the new movie that just came out, The Conjuring, I think that's a great horror movie. I think that's a great horror movie. Oh, absolutely. That's a fantastic horror movie. And I think that anytime you have a based on a true story type of edge to it, I think that also gives it a little bit more flavor because now people are definitely afraid because they're thinking, wow, this really happened.
Right.
Wow.
So true.
I think,
Rather than the native characters.
A lot of the times it's the unexpected. That really wows people. The out of the normal, the abstracted ideas of life, just like spun around, is really the kick for me. Like paranormal, that was just an unexpected thing. And just like you said, bringing it down to earth, bringing it to reality, making it real time, like
exactly.
That happened now. Yeah,
I think any time when you can help relate something to individuals, something that they may have they're going through presently or may have gone through themselves in the past, I think that gives that writer or that gives that director an edge, and it draws in the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Also, in the writing, the timing of when they have the scares and when they have the kind of fake you out scares, and then you laugh and let your guard down, and then they really get you.
I'm glad you say that because I was going to bring that up too. Like, you know how sometimes you may have a particular situation where someone may they're going into the restroom in the bathroom and they open up the medicine cabinet and the audience is thinking, oh, I know when they close it, it's going to be something right behind her. And then she closes it, you don't see anything, and then she drops something and she picks it up and she gets up, boom, and something right there in her face. So it's like, you know, they have you thinking something's going to happen, then it doesn't happen, and then they catch you off guard.
I kind of think we have that scene in our movie. Almost exactly how you described it.
and that's just, you know, and that's just, that's the new way of writing today. That's the new way of producing and directing horror movies today because people are so used to the norm of what they've seen in so many different horror films. So I think that they're just trying to catch people off guard. But I think, I have a really big thing about horror films today. You know, I think that, like I said, The Conjuring was a fantastic movie. I even saw the remake of Evil Dead. It was a good movie. Of course, I prefer the original, but it was still a pretty good movie. And I feel like today they're resulting more in doing a lot of remakes and a lot of sequels. And I think that, you know, the horror genre is kind of losing its edge as far as originality. I'm hoping a lot of the writers and directors and producers can get back to giving us some great original horror films. You know, so I'm really hoping that we can get into that. But definitely, Catherine, definitely tell us about Reality Terror Night and the premise of the movie and you know, everything that went into it.
Okay. Well, how much information do you want? Do you want, like, the short version or, like, even – or do you even want before it started, like, even some of the casting process or –
Definitely. Give us a 411 about Reality Terror. Now, what was the purpose of the title, why did they call it Reality Terror Night?
Well, they called it Reality Terror Night because that part of the premise of the show was they were making a reality show within inside mm-hmm. the movie. So I guess like, this is a good segue for me to tell you the premise. I don't have the brilliant Hollywood synopsis log line, but from my memory, I play the executive producer of a reality TV series. And I have a producer that I'm working with and different people on the show. And we get this brilliant idea to do like a reality show where we get like five hot bikini babes and put them in a haunted mansion and see what happens. So that's kind of short, you know.
I'm liking it already.
I mean,
I'm liking it already.
Well, yeah, and you alluded to me being talented and beautiful, but let me just say the girls in the movie are way better looking than me. So it's really, I mean, one of the
things. If that's the case, I'm really liking it now. I mean,
okay.
I'm really liking it now.
I was just saying, one of the bikini gals was Miss Mexico. So you know.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's some good qualifications.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Well,
fun rainbow of girls.
Definitely.
You were gonna say?
Now, the thing about it is what sparked your curiosity to want to be a part of this film?
Can I say this without giving it away? Well, I made it. This is going to be a spoiler alert, but I wanted to play a not nice person. I'll say it like that, then you won't know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
I was tired
okay.
of playing the good characters. Let me just say it like that. So this does have an element of possession. Because the former owner of this mansion was this pretty disturbed doctor. He was really lovesick. Now, this doctor is played by Martin Cove. And you probably know him from The Karate Kid and Rambo, and he's done tons of big movies. But Martin Cove was this doctor, and his wife died, and he was doing everything he could. This was like in the 70s or 80s, to try to bring his wife back to life. So he was taking women and, let's just say, cutting off parts and trying to reconstruct his first love.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that is
kind
of the opening of the film and the premise of what kind of the spirit that he's left that we walk into that's still in the place when we get there.
Well, you know, the thing that I like about it is that, you know, reality television is really big right now on TV. So to
mm-hmm.
use that concept, you know, to use that concept and say, you know, the film was going to be about a reality series that's being filmed, and now
mm-hmm.
we bring in the horror edge into this reality film series, this reality television series that's being filmed. So, and I think that gives it an edge because there's so many reality TV fans out there. So for them to know that there's a horror film about a reality series that's being filmed that's about to be turned into a horror film, I think that that brings a little interest, especially to all the horror fans. And I mean, there's so many horror fans. I had no idea that there were so many horror fans out there, but there's like thousands, hundreds of thousands of horror fans out there. So for those also that are reality TV fans, I think this would be really interesting to them.
Also, the great thing about reality fans is they're massive consumers. They're the type of people that go to the movies every weekend. They go and see every horror film that comes out. They're, you know, constantly watching two or three a week on Netflix or whatever, and it's an insatiable appetite.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I definitely have some more questions for you, but I know my my partner, Elio, definitely has some. Elio, you have any questions for Catherine?
Yes. My first question for you would be, I know that it's a job to just be a person in general, to be an actress, to be a mother, and also to be a wife. Now, what advice also, what's your strategy on creating a balance between all of those different jobs?
I kind of think it's a misconception that you can do, like, an absolute perfect balance, like you have a pie chart and you can give each of them a third. I think there's days when it's, or sometimes weeks when it's, this is like family week, and but then you're, then next thing you know, you're in Utah for 2 weeks shooting, and that's film week, you know, and then maybe once or twice a year you can get away for a week or two with your loved one, and that's that time. So I don't think you can really do balance, but I think you have to really in the moment evaluate what's most important to you and keep moving back to the top of the list and not letting petty distractions or things that may seem urgent in the moment get in the way of what's really important.
Right. And I agree. Now, coming from a film, your reality horror movie, now coming from something like this, where do you see your career going after this is, you know, displayed and debuted? Because I think it's going to be phenomenal.
Thank you. I feel like it's wide open. I don't feel like I'm going to get pegged into this kind of thing. I've never really been one that's gotten pigeonholed or typecast, at least not yet. I've had the pleasure of, you know, playing this executive producer in this film. I recently did a play where I was this real street hooker. I played a mom recently in a commercial, and just I feel like I've got such a variety of things coming. I used to play a crazy person on Thursday who's like mentally not there. I feel like everything is open and everything is possible.
Okay. Now, because I know becoming some of these characters, you can start to believe that you're that. So do you find yourself creating another job within, not necessarily within theater or within film? Do you see yourself venturing off into another area?
Yeah, you know, film and TV and acting is just, I mean, that's about half of, like, what I like to work on. I also have a huge love for poetry and the poetry scene. That's one of my favorite things. If I could just sit home and write poetry all day long, I totally would.
it doesn't pay the bills like
acting does.
And I'm so glad you said that, because, you know, I know Elio, my co-host, he's a poet as well as, and I know that you have a debut book, Poetic Prescriptions for Pesky Problems.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I've been currently working on the sequel.
Now, what, in that particular book, definitely for poetry fans, What would they expect by reading a poetic prescriptions, pesky problem?
Well, what I tried to do with that is kind of like, almost like this is, okay, like a doctor's office. I prescribe poetry instead of pills to cure your everyday ills. So take two poems and call me in the morning. It's that kind of thing. What I tried to do is whenever I was faced with some kind of problem or a friend had a problem, I would start to write about the problem. By the time I got to the end of the poem, I had a solution for it. So I kind of wrote my way out of the messes I was in.
Wow.
So it's not just, you know, some poetry is just, it's just lamenting the whole time. Oh, my life is so terrible. Well, some of mine may start that way, but by the end, I kind of got it all figured out, you know? And sometimes just that process, that catharsis, you know, sometimes when you're going through something, you feel like you just need to talk to someone, and that person may have not even given you an answer. You come up with it on your own just by being able to voice it out loud and reason in your own mind. So I've had a lot of good feedback on it. I've had people tell me that they carry it with them, that they've read it multiple times, that it's helped them through really hard times. And, you know, it's it is what it is.
Now would you say
go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to ask you, would you say your poetic side helps you express yourself a little bit more on stage?
In what way? Like, what do you mean?
Being able to...
Do you mean when you mean spoken word or acting?
No, just the whole act of poetry and the whole mindset that you go in with poetry. Does it help you on stage?
I mean, I think so. You know, I kind of feel like everything is connected and nothing you do in life or have experienced is ever wasted. Like, it all comes into play later. Making little connections. Like, when I first got out of high school, I sold Mary Kay Cosmetics for a while. And then when I stopped that, I was like, well, I don't know when I'll ever use that. But now that I'm an actor and I have to, oh, gosh, now I know how to do my makeup. Or in high school, I was in gymnastics for a couple years. Well, now I'm on this new TV series called Femme to Action, and it's a wrestling show. And my gymnastics has come in so handy because it's kind of a lot of the wrestling moves require you to be able to move like that and roll and hit the ground and land properly. So it's stuff that you never think will be connected that just comes back round. Just, I don't know.
Well, I agree.
Now, Catherine, I have to say that, you know, I'm so in awe with everything that you're doing. You have a huge list of films that you've been a part of, television shows, theater, you know, with so many different things under your belt. You know, when you think about, you know, some of the up-and-coming actors and actresses out there and, you know, people, you know, they have that mindset, I'm gonna move to California, I'm gonna get my career started. Mm-hmm. You know, I really want to make this dream of mine come true. You know, for those young actors and young actresses, you know, that really wanna put the work in and really wanna make their dreams come true as far as being in Hollywood, with everything that you've worked on and everything that you've gone through yourself, what advice do you give them? You know, the new actors, the up-and-comers?
Oh, there's so much. Where do I start? You know, I would get around, find a group of friends who's one or two steps ahead of you and kind of let them mentor you and see what they're doing that works. And don't follow the herd because everyone will tell you, okay, this is what you have to do. Everybody has to submit to like 20 things every day, and everybody has it. And they'll give you this list of things, but when you look at their life of how it's working, and you know, you kind of just have to look at the outcome. You know, casting director workshops. I've been to like 150 casting director workshops that I have paid for, and I've only gotten 3 auditions. So you finally have to realize when to stop beating your head against the wall, and. Too many actors do not treat their career like a business. When you see the money going out but no results being produced from it, then you got to go, well, even if everybody else is doing this, it's obviously not working for me, so let's try something else. Maybe I'll
Absolutely.
Go to networking parties. Maybe I'll start submitting myself. Maybe I'll make friends go down to a film school and submit my headshots to the film department. So start out in student films. Whatever it is, you just got to keep trying different avenues till you find one that's clicking with you.
And don't quit.
I mean, if this is what you really want, don't quit.
Absolutely.
You can't give
yourself,
so many actors move here. Oh, sorry. They give themselves a time limit. Well, if I haven't gotten on a series regular on a show in 3 years, I'm moving back. Well, then you weren't really that serious to begin with, because who can predict when your time to shine will be? You need to be ready in season and out of season, but you never know when that opportunity is going to strike. So you have to be prepared for it, but you have to also keep your mind open and be ready when it seems like it's years down the road and it seems like nothing's going to happen. You still got to keep up your training and keep up that positive mental attitude, because you never know when it's your turn.
Right. And that's so true, and that's so incredible that you said that, because you know, just the fact of not giving up and just staying with it, because, you know, you have some actors out there, you know, for instance, like Morgan Freeman and Samuel L. Jackson, who didn't really become seriously famous until they got into their 40s, you know, and they were a part of different things before that, but they didn't really become a, you know, true household names until they got into their 40s. So I think that just the fact that you just have to stay with it and you just have to stay dedicated to it, and you're right, you know, you can't say, oh, if I don't be a part of something at this particular time, I'm going to move back, because that doesn't show dedication.
Right.
And I agree with you. I definitely agree with you.
And the cool thing about being an actor is they want all types, all shapes, all sizes, all colors, pretty, ugly, everything in between. To tell a story, you need everything. So, you know, it can be a lot of people think, oh, gosh, if I'm over 30, I shouldn't even bother trying, or if I'm not size zero, or, you know, or the guy,
right,
if I don't have a six-pack, you know.
Right.
it's
if they're not looking
not
like Fabio, they, you know, they think that they shouldn't, you know. Yeah, they
right.
shouldn't become an actor, but no, I agree with you. I think that it takes all that hard work and dedication that they have to put into it. I got one more question, really great one. It's a two-parter, actually. Is there a dream role that you've always wanted to have that you haven't gotten a chance to be a part of yet? And is there a film that you said, I wish I could have played that part? And what part would that be?
Okay. Well, this is going to show two very different sides of me, which is cool. A dream role would be like a very physical, but action kind of thing. I would love to be like some sort of a spy or something like that. You know, almost, you know, people say Jennifer Garner, I love her career because she did Alias. And to me, that was like the coolest role ever. But
absolutely.
The funny thing is, when you a role I wish I could have played, again, it's a Jennifer Garner movie, and this is my complete opposite other side. I would have loved to have done 13 going on 30.
Great
I thought
film.
That was the cutest,
I love that
most
film.
Fun role. I just love that.
Now when you talk about a film like that, we talk about like action, and especially thinking about as far as film, I think the role of Salt by Angelina Jolie was a really good character, and I think that was definitely a great film as far as action and being a spy or also even being a part of any of the Mission Impossible sequels.
Did you see the movie? It was an Asian movie. It was called The Gene Generation.
I haven't seen that, but my cousin, he's a really big fan of Asian films, and he told me about that movie, and he told me to check it out, but I haven't got a chance to see it yet.
That would be an amazing. The female lead in that, I would have loved to have that role. She wasn't just I feel like a lot of the female action movies, even like Salt, but a lot of them, it's almost like it's written for a man, but a woman does it instead. And you don't necessarily get to see the feminine side of them. Whereas the lead female in The Gene Generation, it was, you could see the strong, tough side, but then you also really saw the feminine, vulnerable, emotional side. So it was such a beautiful combination.
I definitely got to check it out. I know my cousin told me about it. He said it's a great film, and he said you would definitely like it. So I'm definitely going to have to check it out now. That's three people so far that told me to definitely check that out. So I'm going to have to check it out definitely now. Well, first and foremost, Catherine, Reality Terror Night is coming on DVD and video on demand, as well as download for rent on September 10th.
Yes, it looks like available. Gosh, I saw it at Target. I saw it at BarnesandNoble.com. There's fun on a lot of websites ready for pre-order.
So So definitely, ladies and gentlemen, definitely make sure you guys get your pre-order in. You know, it's debuting September 10th on DVD as well as video on demand, and also, you know, able, you know, for you to download to rent and to own and to rent as well. So definitely make sure you guys check it out. You can go on YouTube to check out the trailer for it. I will be posting the trailer on our Facebook and YouTube channels as well. So definitely make sure you guys check that out. Catherine, I want to definitely say, as far as myself and LEO and the entire network, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. We had a fabulous time with you. I think that I'm definitely going to check out Reality Terror Night because I'm a huge horror fan, so I have to see it. So it's almost like a must. I have to see it, definitely. And then with yourself and the five drop-dead gorgeous weight ladies, I'm definitely going to have to check it out. I got to tell all the other fellows that they're going to have to check it out as well. But I just want to say thank you so much. We had an incredible time with you. I think that you're a fabulous actress. And I definitely can't wait to see you in more television and film as well. And I hope that you get an opportunity to land that dream role of yours, and also something big as far as television or even anything in theater. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. And as far as we're concerned, you're no longer a guest. You're a family member on this network now. So we're going to continue to keep supporting you and everything that you do.
Oh, thank you, guys. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. LEO, any closing comments for Catherine?
I want to thank you personally for coming on to the show. Now, for all of the fans and all the listeners, are you on any social networks where we can reach out and touch and stay current
with
the things you're doing?
Definitely. I'm on Twitter at Kat Norland, KatNorland. And then I have Catherine Norland on Facebook. I've got two pages, one where I post my acting stuff each day, and another Catherine Norland page where I post my poetry each day.
Mm.
And
oh, wow.
You can find me on, KatherineNorland. And you can find me at KatherineNorland.com as well as KatherineNorlandPoetry.com.
Wow, okay. Well, definitely, Catherine. Ladies and gentlemen, definitely make sure you guys check her out and check that out as well. She's a fabulous writer and poetry writer as well, so definitely make sure you guys check out her poetry. I know Elio and myself is going to do that as well. And Catherine, I just want to say that I'm looking forward to Reality Terror Night, and I'm definitely looking forward to having some of the other ladies onto the show, and I wish you all the best in the future and everything that you're working on, and even some of your, you know, your new material and new things and new ventures that you're working on. I definitely can't wait to see what you have in store for the fans.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
All right,
you too. Have a blessed night. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Bye.
The Hour Radio Network, the beautiful Miss Catherine Norland, joining us tonight. Definitely make sure you guys check out the debut of her new film, Reality Terror Night, on DVD and video on demand, as well as download to own and rent on September 10th. Definitely make sure you guys check it out. I will be posting the trailer on Facebook and YouTube for you guys to check it out. So definitely make sure you guys support Catherine and everything that she's doing. Right now, we got some more music. When we come back, Elio and myself getting it in. Hopefully our brother, the talented, the intelligent Mr. Anthony Rucker is going to be joining us and getting it in on the second half of the show with us. We still got some Where Do We Go From Here with my man Elio. We got Real Men Talking. D-Slate goes in. It's going down. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. For the fit-ins, I got some Onyx. I got some John Michael. We got hits. Don't go nowhere. The Hour Radio Network, the Tuesday spot, and it goes down.
Well, it's another one, another one. Get around and I'm troublesome, extra mind. It's graphic, expressive, graphic. No. Killer copycat hacking, hit all massive. Directed it when y'all least expected it and thought it was safe. I'd hit you in the face.
So slam! Before I bust on my pants, I'm mad author of anguish. My language polluted. Onyx is heavyweight.
It's still undisputed.
It's like the words right out my mouth. I walk a mile in my shoes. I pay so many dues. I feel used and abused, and I'm so confused. Cop, excuse me. For example, I'm an inspiration of a whole generation. And unless you got 10 sticky fingers, it's an imitation. A figment of your imagination. But wait, it gets worse. I'm not watered down, so I'm dying of thirst. Coming through with scale, foolproof plan. B-boys make some noise and just jam.
Yeah. in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The only thing I didn't learn is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
No doubt. The Allo Radio Network, D Slate Elio in the building playing the hits. My man John Michael with his hit single Sophisticated. Before that was the all-time hit single by the brothers Onyx with their joint Slam right here on the D Allo Radio Network. Big shout out to the beautiful Miss Catherine Norland for joining us on the show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to introduce, you know, our guest, who hopefully, you know, he's going to be joining us. You know, hopefully he's going to be joining us, you know, every Tuesday on the Tuesday spot, you know, as we get it in. With Real Men Talking. So hopefully he'll get a chance to join us. You know, my brother, Intelligent Brother, drop knowledge every single time he's on the show. We've had him on the show many times. We've had great listeners and great feedback. People always asking us to bring him back on the show. Author of the Relationship Cookbook, ladies and gentlemen, my brother, Mr. Anthony Rucker, in the building.
What up, family? What up, D? Glad to be here.
Anthony, what's good, bro? What's good with you, bro?
Hey, man, got to keep it moving, got to keep it going. Got to get bigger
no
and
doubt,
better
man.
Every day. That's I'm doing.
That's real talk, man. And again, man, I'm going to thank you for joining us. And hopefully, bro, we can have you on the show with us, you know, when we're live every Tuesday, you know, on the Tuesday spot, you know, especially for our segment, Real Men Talking.
Oh yeah, I'm down, man. I put it in my calendar already. I got you marked off.
No doubt. Now, ladies and gentlemen, right now we're gonna get it in. We got my brother Elio, you know, my brother Anthony Rucker joining us right now on the Tuesday spot. Right now we got our segment. Where do we go from here? Elio, can you tell us, brother, where do we go from here?
Where do we go from here? I would like to start it off with. You know, your day-to-day life, you get up in the morning, you go out to work, and you're traveling back and forth. I want to ask you, fellas, how many times do you hear someone begging for change?
Wow. You know what? You know what, bro? I think that it really depends on, you know, because sometimes I think it depends on the areas, because I don't see it a lot in certain areas when I'm heading out. But I don't get asked often. But, you know, I've been asked a few times. You know, to be honest with you, bro, it really don't bother me. I mean, because if I had it, I'll definitely give it to them. You know, I don't get asked a lot. So if I do have it, I'll definitely give it to them now. I mean, you can never know you can never know everybody's situation. You know, you can't automatically assume somebody, you know, that's begging for money or begging for change is always using it for drugs and always using it for alcohol. So that can't never be the assumption all the time. Now, I know, you know, quite often, you know, in some areas and in different cities and states, you know, that could be the case, but that can't be the mindset of thinking, oh, well, you know, they only asking me that for drugs or they only asking me that for alcohol. I mean, but real talk, if I have it, I don't have a problem with giving it to them.
Solid. Because I mean, I notice as I travel back and forth to anywhere I go, there's not a day that goes by where there's not someone or a person in need. And I just think, being in a world where we grow food and we physically make money, how do we have so much poverty? How do we have so much starvation when things are being reproduced every day? So where do we go from here in the sense of how do we change this? How do we change me viewing this? When I see every day, every day, and it bothers me. And I try to help as many people as I can, but I can't help everybody. And you don't know who's in need, who's not in need. But just in general, for those many people that have to stick their hand up, why is it that way? And how do we remedy that situation?
Anthony, what do you think about this topic?
Oh man, I think it's a beautiful topic. I think it's necessary. I think it's part of the greater whole that needs to be discussed. But anybody who gets an email from me, I have three sayings of my own that I put on the bottom of them that I think address this. One is don't become a product of your environment. Make your environment a product of you. The second one is, in the end, the community that doesn't police itself becomes a victim of its own apathy. And the third one is, it's a defeated people who judge what they can accomplish based on degree of difficulty and not the level of possibility. So in that, what I'm saying is that everything is changeable. And the reason that it doesn't change is because more people are asking how are we changing it than just going to change it. And
that's
then
real.
We expect too much. You know, it's like biblically it says you have not because you've asked not. You know what I'm saying? And we can reverse that. We don't have because we don't do. You know what I'm saying? We black people, you put us together, man, we got like, what's like $78 billion spending power, something ridiculous like that. I don't remember the exact number. But it's in that ballpark. So when you have that much money floating among a people, the problem ain't poverty. The problem is distribution and our economic mind. And then we get caught up into it's hard. I work with kids as a behaviorist. I tell them hard is an excuse. Impossible is a reason. Hard is an excuse. So what happens is we allow ourselves to be caught up in the image that the world is painted of these things. Like, I can't do this. I can't do that. We can, and we use can as an excuse. So as this one bright man always said, answer my wife, like why people don't do, he said, listen, when people have a moral obligation period to something that they don't do, it's either because they're incapable or they're apathetic. And then I add, because they're afraid. So that's what it is. The reason why people don't give change and do anything is either because they're afraid, they're incapable of giving or caring. And I don't mean, when I say incapable, I mean not able. They're capable. They can develop the ability, but they're not able to right now because they haven't developed that muscle, that compassion, or they're apathetic. You know, and we have to be real with that. We have to look at each other and say, you know what, some of us just don't care enough. And we can't
That's
wait
real.
For everybody to care. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
No movement has started off with the masses of people. It's always started like a snowball, rolling small and getting bigger as it goes downhill. If we're waiting for the big snowball, dude, it ain't coming. It got to start with the small.
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all, bro. And I agree with you, man. I think it's really pivotal, especially, you know, when you mention the fact that, you know, as far as African Americans, man, and, you know, it's our economic mindset. And I agree with you because sometimes, you know, we have brothers and sisters out there who for a very long time had to go with not having anything. So then when they're presented, you know, with a lot of money and they've come across some type of miracle, whether it's winning the lottery or whether it's them, they've sold something or their career has allowed them to come into a lot of money. So now, you know, they have all this money and they think that now I have the money, now I could just buy, you know, this and buy that and buy all this expense of this and buy all this expense of that, you know, instead of just being happy that you have what you have. And spending it wisely, and maybe giving back, and maybe giving somebody else that gift of being able to have something that they never have. But cats get money, man, and they just don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, they ain't learned. It's like when they when it came to educating black folks, you know, up to like the 1960s, you know, you didn't have to teach black folks science, math, or anything like that. You just had to teach them English and a trade. And one thing that, you know, when the South and the North were coming together, the one thing that they agreed initially not to teach, you know, the things that they agreed not to teach black folks were like the art of reproduction, the art of war, the art of economics, and the art of business. You know, those things are skill sets, and we don't understand that. Asa Hilliard said that one of the main problems with black folks is that we've noticed and we're cognizant of the trappings of power, but we're not cognizant of what gains and garners power. So there's always
That's
a question that some of my mentors used to ask. They said, would you rather have all the money in the world or all the land in the world? And most people say all the money. And he said, I'll take all the land. And he said,
man,
now,
I agree with that.
and then he said this. He said, and now to eat or to have a house, you got to give me all the money in the world. And they're like,
exactly.
Well, you don't want to. Then he said, then you'll die and I'll take your money.
Exactly.
He said, but you're going to pay me all your money or you're going to die and I'll take it. So it's like you, land, ownership of land and resources are power. Not money.
Power.
Money is an influence. Power is owning land and resources, things that people need. People don't need money. If I have a farmer willing to give me food, I don't need money. You only need
right.
money when you don't have a skill and you want something. That's how bartering died. It was so many people without talents that they started creating money so they could get stuff without having a talent or an ability. You know, but
you
if I got all the food...
You want to talk
right.
about having money. You want to talk about having, you know, that you would rather have money. Okay, but if I have the land, now you got to come to me to purchase something on that land. Let's say if you want to build a building or build a house, now you got to give me that money to purchase that house or that land.
And I can charge you whatever I want because it's mine.
Exactly. Exactly. Ooh, LEO,
that
bro, you got any closing
mine,
comments for it?
Yeah, so basically... Gaining the mindset of the future as a reference to dwelling on the right now, because, you know, dealing with the land situation, you know, that's more so longevity. That's down the line. I get the land now. I grow this. I build this. You need all of this. Now, all of that money is going to get you is the property that I own, so I will only grow, and you will decrease as you spend your money, because money is not unlimited. You're limited with that, so don't limit your time, basically. So, yeah, I definitely check with that.
No doubt. Ladies and gentlemen, where do we go from here, one of our pivotal segments on the Tuesday spot? I have to formally introduce LEO, Anthony Rucker, LEO.
Oh,
what's up,
fam?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. It's nice to finally meet you. I've heard, like, great things about you, so hopefully this segment, you know, and inspire you to come back bi-weekly. You said you got it in your calendar, so I hope to see you back.
Oh, yeah. I'm here, man. Integrity, my word is everything. If I say it, I do it. So you ain't,
no
it,
doubt,
ain't a question.
No doubt.
You know.
And it's going to get real. It's going to get a lot more real tonight, ladies and gentlemen, because the brothers is going to go in with me on my D-Slate goes in, and my topic is racism tonight. I got something to say about it. But there was a couple of things that happened in the media not too long ago, and I got something to say about that because a few comments I've heard, and I'm getting sick and tired of hearing it. So I got something to say about that. We'll be talking about that as well at the number one segment, Real Men Talking. Ladies, Real Men Talking is coming up real soon. If you want to call and ask your questions, 718-766-4553. 718-766-4553, ladies, for your relationship questions. I've already got some ladies who posted some questions that they want us to ask and talk about, so we'll definitely get that in for Real Men Talking. Right now, we're going to take a hit break. When we come back, D-Slate goes in, and we will be talking about some things, definitely. I got some D-Shavo, I got some Z-100. When we come back, it's going down. Real Men Talking, D-Slate goes in. It's the brothers. D-Slate, LEO, Anthony Rucker, we're getting it in tonight. Don't go nowhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the city of bright lights. The only city with a microphone in the sky. Dallas. Real music. I go by the name of Bebe, a.k.a. Mr. A. Bebe, a.k.a. Mr. I Say Popping Tags, BKA, the Governor by 20. Allow me to introduce y'all to my homie, D-Chavo. The back. that ever did it and got away with it.
And shining stars, everybody round town, they know who we are. Top shelf, nigga, ain't nothing but me regular. Cutting $1 million gears up on that cellular. Flashy lifestyle, close your eyes and picture me. Pushing foreign V's and rocking Christian Louis V's. Street approved, so I rock and rep that silverback. I even got some 28s up on that Maybach. Sipping pina colada, eating something that's proper. Spanish girl on my lap, she be calling me papa. She be draped in that Prada, love that when I'm inside her. I tell her ain't no outer, she love me like a father. I'm the chavo, man, that means money, man. It ain't for me in a week to spend $100,000. Please believe me, man, I seen it, homie, done it all. I'm a true definition of a real boss.
For the done. Call me young boss for all the shit that I run. Ready for the world, earth, wind, and fire. 5-year run, now the kid can retire. Ball like the best, I'm a true all-star. Jumping out fresh, people know who we are. Call me hood rich and I take it how it come. Blue and white diamonds got me shining like the sun. Taking vacations 7 days on the ocean. Bad Brazilian rub me down with the lotion. Live every day like it's probably my last. Can't take the with me, so I blow money fast. Diamonds and pearls for my precious little girl. My eat greedy get to fly across the world. Everything free and it's all on me. Just the life and bright lights is all I can see. Jeez.
I'm the word around town, but I don't hear it cause I'm downtown, underground, eating 5-star meals, trying to gain a couple pounds with a 5-star chick, sipping wine a couple rounds. The bartender sexy, she feeling my style. I'm feeling the smile and I think that she may be wild. I'm hardly ever nervous, I stay in front of a crowd. People looking at me funny, it may be cause of the loud. Kush cologne scent, they're pushing long scent. Say what you want about me, you can put your own print. Instead of speaking out, I'd rather let the song vent. It take the right amount of words and not the wrong content. The weather feel good, temperature quite right. You really wanna see the city take a night flight. So you can see the different colors like a night bright. We call it the triple D, big buildings and bright lights.
Brand new. I'm so insecure. When you tell me that you want me, I ask you, is it sure? I'm insecure. Tell me that you love me. I'm insecure. Girl, I hope I'm all you need. I'm insecure. Tell me that you love me. I'm insecure. Girl, I hope I'm all you need. Ooh. I must admit it, I don't trust a thing. 'Cause what you claiming, I already seen. And every time your phone light up, I'm thinking to myself, who could it be? They got no business calling. It's a 3:15. But I'ma keep it cool, 'cause I know, know. Sometimes I be tripping. Why do you read my mind? Of you creeping, hope I'm all you need. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm insecure. Tell me that you love me. I'm insecure. Girl, I hope I'm all you need. I'm insecure. Tell me that you love me. I'm insecure. Girl, I hope I'm all you need. Ooh.
Radio Network, D Slade, L.E.O., Anthony Rucker. We're in the building right now getting it in, playing the hit. My man Z100 with his hit single Insecure. Before that, D Chavo, Bright Lights, doing it like that on the network. Tuesday spot, got the hits for you. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, right now it's time for D Slade to go in. And I'm going to have my brothers chime in with me. After I go in on, you know, my topic tonight was racism. And, you know, we had a few situations that happened in the media that caught some serious media attention. Of course, the Trayvon Martin case that was going on for quite some time and caught quite a bit of media attention. Not only were the average everyday citizens were upset, but celebrities were upset as well at the verdict of the Andrew Zimmerman trial. And a lot of racial discrimination and racism was thrown out there about this whole particular case. And everybody had their different viewpoints about what they thought happened. And the same situation as far as, another racial situation is with celebrity chef Paula Deen, who was dropped from the Food Network and many sponsors because of, some racial innuendos with her. As far as comments that, she made in her past, that they got her out of the pot and into the fire, so to speak. And also she won her court case against the ex-employee that had the racial issue with her, for those that didn't know. My thing about it is in the light of those situations, I heard, quite a few comments, more so coming from the Caucasian persuasion, but I saw quite a few comments, about, she said she was sorry, and, I don't know what the big deal is, and, You know, why is it taking, why is this stuff, why is it always taken so seriously? And, you know, you know, it's not that serious, and, you know, get over it, you know, and different things like that. Let me explain something to you guys, okay? Let me explain something. First and foremost, understand that racism, or how African Americans feel about racism, that's never going to change. So your comments, you know, about get over it, or your comments about what's the big deal, first and foremost, you ain't going to never understand what the big deal is, okay? You're not going to ever understand it because, you know, and we can go into a whole history lesson about racism and about slavery and about what happened, you know, to blacks, you know, back in the slavery times, and you know, and we can go into that whole history lesson. But the bottom line is, we were treated like animals, you know, we were beaten, we were murdered, and we were degraded, and we were discriminated against. So understand that, you know, when I say we were treated like animals, it was probably less than that. You know, so what you guys need to understand is, you know, that's always going to be a touchy subject. That's always going to be an issue with us because we were treated so badly. And even to this day, you know, there are still individuals out there that still have that same mindset and still, you know, try to go about doing some of those similar things that was being done back in those particular times. But the bottom line is, you will never understand that. You'll never understand that. The way we were treated, the things that happened to us, burning down churches, murdering people, hanging people, beating, you'll never understand that. That's the reason why it's a big deal, and that's the reason why we take it so seriously. That's the reason why. So I'm getting tired of the what's the big deal comments. I'm getting tired of a get over it. No, you get over it. You get over it. Because that's the bottom line, that we're always going to be touchy about that particular subject. Now, everybody deals with it in their own way. Everybody handles it, you know, and deal with it in their own way or fashion. But the bottom line is, it's not going to be forgotten, and we're not going to take it lightly. Plain and simple.
Right.
Leo, what you think, bro?
It hurts. It really, really, really hurts to know that any race would feel that way about another race. I don't feel like we're equal still till today. It's always going to be an opposition. We're always going to be looked down upon. And for a comment made like, get over it, or it's not that serious. I heard so many comments like that during the George Zimmerman case and Trayvon Martin. Just listening to the panelists that was going overseeing the case, some of the people of color making some heinous comments and some real ignorant comments. Like they're saying, oh, we've been free for however long, it's about time we get ourselves together and stop looking for an extra hand. No, it's not that. We will always be looked at in this light. I don't know how many other years. This is life. This is what it is. I can't change my probability of getting a job, or my probability of getting in college, or my probability of making it past the age of 21. It's always going to be that. I don't know your path. I don't know your struggle, but I do know how I came and how my people are treated. We're just given our perception, and this is our perspective. You can't fault us for thinking the way we do. For the way we're treated, that does you can't change that. It's not going to change. It's constant. It will always be, and I don't like it. I definitely don't like it.
That's no doubt, Anthony. What you saying, bro?
Man, let me go there. Because one, when people talk to me, you know, like that, you know, there's two things I always picked up from my mother. You dignify ignorance when you give it a response. And, you know, as my mother would say when somebody called her the N-word, she said, that just shows the level of your intelligence. And she walked off and left this crazy white man standing in the middle of the parking lot. So me, man, it's not a debate. It's a denial. Anybody who tells me to get over it or that racism doesn't exist, I got one simple question that nobody's been able to answer in the last 17 years that I've asked it. point to the event or the happenings or the time in America that you're using to justify your statement. And until somebody can answer that, you know, I don't even deal with it. You know, because I'm like, apparently you're basing that off of something. So what it is. And I shut down the national conference like that. I had the last call. I asked that because when they're talking about Proposition 59 out here, and I got on there and they cut it off and like, we've ended. And everybody at the school that I was at was like, wait a minute, what happened to our question? I'm like, they weren't going to answer that question. And that's what we have to start doing, man. There's an emotional end to this. But the reason this goes back, and this goes into, I'm about to get psychological, is that when you let people define the argument, you let them limit your answers. So what happens is when people walk up to me, I don't let them limit my answers. When people walk up to me and say some stuff, I'm like, well, before I say anything to that, you got to validate that that's even a good comment and that it's even worth talking about. So what are you basing that on? And then people look at me and I'm like, see, that's why I can say that you're stupid. Because you just randomly say stuff out your mouth that you can't back up. Recently on Facebook, I was commenting on one of my boys posting, and then this white guy, you know, was posting. I said, you know, you clearly talking, you know, as a person who's never been discriminated against and hasn't felt racism. I can tell by your conversation. And he was like, I posted much evidence. And then I said, no, dude. I said facts. I didn't say evidence. All your evidence is based on your opinion. I said, tell me something that ain't based on what you think. That's a historical fact that you can point to something tangible to support your cause. And then he stopped responding because he didn't have that. And that's what black folks need to tell white America. Like, yeah, that's nice. That's your opinion. Show me some facts. Show me some facts that back up this mess you're talking. And when they all shut up, and it's like, well, that's why you need to shut up and keep it pushing. And that's why we got an issue with what's going on. And just leave it at that, man. Like I can tell people, racism ain't a debate; it's denial. And nobody. And I'll talk to anybody. I don't care how smart. I don't care what professor. You give me 5 minutes, and I'm gonna shut them down. And it's only gonna be 5 minutes because they're gonna talk 4.5 trying to get themselves out of the corner they're in. And then the last 30 seconds, they're gonna shut up.
That's real.
I don't participate in that bull crap. That's you know, just madness to me.
And I agree with y'all, man. I just think that, and I agree, man. It's really denial, and I think that it just amazes me, you know, when you think about the whole situation, you think about how, you know, people treat dogs these days, you know, they treat dogs better than human beings, you know what I'm saying? You know, so it's like, you know, you want to ask, I mean, and I know even with the Andrew Zimmerman case, and you know, even with the Andrew Zimmerman case, and I know a lot of cats, you know, especially a lot of athletes, you know, had to comment, like, how is it possible that someone who was accused of being cruel to dogs can go to prison, and someone who shot themselves in the leg can go to prison, but a cat that actually killed someone can't go to prison? You know, and no one could really answer that. You know, in which, you know, I feel like it's so much truth into that because, you know, like I said before, you know, making ignorant comments like that and saying those different things and, you know, the bottom line is, you know, like you said, white America, you'll never understand that. You know, you'll never know, you know, what it was like. You know, you never get it, you know what I'm saying, because it happened for such a long time and it continues to happen. So, of course, you know, we're going to be really sensitive, you know, about, you know, that particular topic and about the way we're being treated, you know. So, of course, we're going to be sensitive about it, and, of course, we're going to be on our P's and Q's, and we're going to be on our toes, you know, when it comes to something like that. And no, you know, we're not going to get over it. And, no, I mean, we're going to go on with our daily lives, but you can best believe we're not going to push it to the side and act like it don't exist.
Right.
You know, and that's basically the bottom line. You know, so I just want everybody to understand that, you know, those particular things, you know, saying those and making those particular comments, you know, it's really ignorant, and it really shows that you really don't have no level of understanding about racism, about what African Americans have gone through, and you can't relate to it. So my suggestion is to keep the comments to yourself.
But you know why that is, right? Psychologically, you know why that is? And I've never put this out in the public venue. This has always remained, like, private conversation. but it's time to say it. Being African in a public venue, being African American is to be diametrically opposed to America. And let me explain what that is. You can't talk about rape and the violence of rape without indemnifying and condemning the rapist. You can't talk about kidnapping and murder without indemnifying and condemning the murderer and the kidnapper. So what happens is if you look at the treatment of black folks, you have to look at who treated them that way. And if you look at how we've been treated by America, it is diametrically opposed to everything America claims to have been and claims to be. So when we bring up what we've been through, what that does, it tears down the very fabric of this morality and morale that America said that it had. How can you say that you're the bastion of freedom at the same point that you institute the worst form and institution of slavery that the world has ever known? People don't, they just talk about slavery like, oh, there were slaves. There was no such thing as chattel slavery into the trilateral human trade. There was nothing like that that ever existed or the world ever knew. So how in the world can you say you instituted the worst degradation to human beings that ever existed and then say, you know what, we're the land of the free and the home of the brave? How can you say that you're brave when you have people who walk around and represent you wearing hoods and killing people and you condoning them because you don't want to say anything because that's your brother, your sister, your auntie, your uncle? See, that's cowardice. And then let's get to the bottom of it. The Declaration of Independence, John Hancock's name was readable. It was legible because he was the only one who wanted to be known. Everybody else signed their name, so it wasn't legible. So if they lost the revolution, they wouldn't be the first ones killed, which was a tradition. You kill the traitors to make sure nobody else does it. So we have a Declaration of Independence that was cowardly signed, and John Hancock was the only name that you can read it, hence give me your John Hancock, make it legible. And then we want to sit up here and we want to perpetrate that these were the bravest, you know, most resolute people on the planet. You know, Lincoln said that he wouldn't have freed the slaves if there was another way around it. So, you know, it's like when you start looking at what being African is in America, it totally dismantles everything that America says it is at every epoch and great moment that it had. And people got to start dealing with that. That's why white people strike out so much at black folks, because we remind them of what they're not and what they need to be. But they're not trying to get to what they need to be. They're trying to be what they say they are, but they aren't. And people need to get down to it. Being African-American is diametrically opposed to America.
You know what, Anthony, that's huge right there because, and I've made this statement many times before on the show about when you think about, you know, we were ridiculed so much about the way we talk and the type of clothes we wear. And the way we act and the different things that we do. And it's like now, today, almost every other culture talks the way we talk, wear the things that we wear, do the things that we do. But we were ridiculed so much about it, but now it's just like you said. Now it almost seems like everybody wants to be that way. It seems like everybody wants to be African American.
We were trendsetters, and we were the beginners. But it's like this: you can't enslave a people when everything holy and great looks like them. So to hold the body, you got to destroy the mind. You know, and you know, it's like one other thing that people got to realize is once chattel slavery ended, they created a combined class, because before, even the poorest white person was above a black person. And when they got rid of enslavement, they created a class that now there were white folks in the same situation, sharecropping and doing things and struggling to survive as black people. So all of a sudden, you know, that separation ain't as great. So now that's why you get it more now than you get it then, because now there's not the clear separation of class and station and geography where there was things that you can't do and places you can't go. Now the only way that you can separate yourself from black folks if you feel you're superior to them is to by degrading them and trying to point out the differences that never really existed. This is all a
That's
psychological self-preservation game. That's why when I look, I, the racist white folks in this country and the ones who do this and try to perpetrate, I have more pity on them than anything else. Not to say that I'm giving them a pass, But I look at them like, y'all some sorry human beings. If you got to, if your day is spent thinking about how to hate me, I'm the closest thing to love you got in your mind. And I tell people, seriously, I tell people in the book that I have coming up, the only difference between love and hate is the attitude with the two people you think about the most are the people you love and the people you hate. You know what I'm saying? And it is so
that's
easy to turn hate into
made.
Love. You know what I'm saying? The opposite
that's
of love is indifference.
Ever made. Man,
you know, they love
that's
us.
That's
they,
the real
they hate us so much they love
made.
Us.
Deep slate goes in, baby. That's how we do it on the Tuesday spot. My brothers, Anthony Rucker, Elio, we getting it in tonight. We got some more hits coming off right now, some Erykah Badu, some Naughty by Nature. It's going down. When we come back, ladies, real men talking. Oh, yeah. It's about to go down, ladies. So you want to call and get your questions in, 718-766-4553. 718-766-4553. Ladies, real men talking coming next. Erykah Badu, she's going on and on. We'll be right back.
It takes two to tote. Let's have some hookah smoke. See you winking, wanna clutch it, watch me kiss. I love the figure. Let me touch it while you tweet on Twitter. It's the perfect party with a pinch of passion. Pass a pint of potion. Perfect ass and fashion. My selection's confession. My obsession is affection. Affection, sex, sex. Lordy, it's the perfect party. Plus size is belly flopping, tan lotion baking, those are taking. Who can hate it? Get a spring breaking, naked shaking. Sexy mama homage, sexy mama finer. The diner's honor, getting brain like college knowledge. Work the jerk out, I work your skirt out. Stretch your thighs, let's exercise. I show the perfect workout. The thongs are strong, can't see where they meet up. Heat up teeny bikini, tight like ballet teachers. Love you, the denim, especially when you're in them. The linen, naughty boys love when it's show. I go out, believe. Let's do it right under a blanket on the balcony. I don't smoke the pokies. This is push focus. With a view of the ocean, let's toast to mimosa. If you understand the underworld, let me tell you, girl, we gotta do it all.
You already know, baby. D-Hour Show, Radio Network, D-Slay, L-E-O, Anthony Rucker in the building, the Tuesday Spot, Naughty by Nature featuring Joe Perfect Party, Erica Badu on and on playing the hits like that. Welcome to all the sit-ins. Make sure you tune into the D-Hour Radio Network every Sunday through Thursday and Saturday. You never know who's going to be on. You never know what's going to go down on the network. All you got to do is just listen in and tune in, and you'll get everything you need from what we like to call real radio. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for our premier segment we like to call Real Men Talking. And tonight, you know, our special guest who's going to be joining us every week on this particular segment, Real Men Talking, my brother Anthony Rucker in the building with us. Right now, I got, I guess I could start it off. I had a question. This was posted by a friend of mine, Miss Tiffany Adams. Tiff, do men respect a woman less if she does the pursuing? Do they respect her less if she's the one that does the pursuing? Elio, what you think, bro?
I'm gonna have to say, yeah. I'm gonna say that because, you know, getting into anything, when a man seeks interest, he's on a chase. And if he's not really chasing nothing, it's like, oh, it's easy. It sort of gives that perception, oh, she wants me, I got this, less work, less respect. Now, there's reference to a woman that I'm chasing. I'm going to put up on that pedestal for a little while until I get that. I'm going to give her everything she needs, tell her everything she wants. I kind of have her on the pedestal at that point. So I would say yes, I would look at it, look down upon. Not necessarily look down upon, but it'd be a less of a level of respect.
All right. Anthony, what you think, bro?
It depends on how. And I don't know if respect is the right word. It's value for me. It's so, in other words, nobody wants to chase something that they can't catch. You see what I'm saying? So it's about whether or not she makes it known that she wants to be chased. That's my idea of pursuing. There's an African proverb that says, man chases woman until she catches him. So in other words, you know, a woman is supposed to put the catnip out to let him know, like, listen, this is where you need to be. And give him a little reason to come after you. But if a woman pursues hard, you know, that can be a turnoff. I don't say I will lose respect for her, but I lose interest. You know, for me, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, it's trying to shove $1 million in my hand, you know. You know, you shouldn't have to do that. You know, I should want to take the million. Like, why are you trying to convince me to take it unless there's something wrong
right.
with it? You know, so it becomes
like,
one of those things.
And that would be kind of weird for somebody to be like, look here, you're going to take this damn $1 million.
Yeah. And that's based on the way that men view women. Now, there are some brothers who are oblivious. You know, like, and, you know, my wife calls me a recovering nerd, but, you know, as a nerd, sometimes I was so into what I'm doing that if a woman didn't make herself known, I probably wouldn't have paid attention to her because I was into what I was doing. But if a man,
you know,
obviously.
Wow. I just find that interesting that you said that because I'm kind of like that myself. Where if I'm concentrating, I got a lot of things that I'm thinking about or whatever the case may be. If somebody was pursuing me, and I know that happened to me a lot. I know when I was in college, and I know I was always told, oh, yeah, this girl likes you, this girl likes you, and I never knew because I was so into everything else that I was doing, I really wasn't paying attention to it.
Yeah. But if you was obviously paying attention and she was pressing that hard, you'd be like, yo, push back. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and it is a way that we think, but, you know, a lot of people will talk about, well, the way it should be. Well, you know, you deal with what should be when it is. Right now you deal with what is.
No doubt.
You know, and
no doubt.
Like I said, I don't lose respect,
no,
but I will lose interest.
I don't know. I think my take on it, to end it off with this question, I think my take is I think I kind of agree with both you guys, too. But I think it also depends on the man, too, because, you know, like you said, Anthony, there's a few guys out there who actually like that, you know, who like being pursued. I call them the lazy brothers.
That's funny. Did I lose you?
I'm not sure yet. You can hear me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't hear it this way.
My fault, ladies and gentlemen. I think a woman must have heard what I said and cut me off. Look here. I want to say this. No, what I was saying was I think that there's a lot of brothers out there, you know, who I call the lazy brothers. Who like being pursued like that, you know, and they like, you know, they like women coming after them and stuff like that. But I think I do agree that at some particular level, if they pressing real hard, it is kind of a turnoff because I think it's kind of like what my man Anthony said. A woman, she puts that catnip out, and you know, it's telling you, hey, this is where you need to be. So it's just a little bit of level of a chase, you know. If you let that man give you a little bit of chase. And come after you, and he gets you. He has a sense of accomplishment. You know what I mean? He has a sense. It's almost like winning a trophy. He's like, you know, I did this work. I put it in. Boom. This is my reward. So it's almost like a sense of accomplishment, a sense of receiving a reward for the chase. And it don't have to be a long chase. It could be just a little small chase, but as long as you're allowing him to do that. And I think I do agree that if a woman is pressing too hard, you know, in pursuing, it may be a bit of a turnoff to a lot of brothers. So I definitely agree. Leo, you got one for us, bro?
This question is, what's the ultimate key to a man's heart?
What's the ultimate key to a man's heart? I'm going to let Anthony go with that one first.
Ladies, you're going to hate this answer. There is none. y'all heart people. We're pragmatic and practical people. You know, I tell women, it's like, you know, women marry the right dude, men marry at the right time. The key to a man's heart, if you want to get to his heart, get him to the right time in his life where he'll access it freely. Other than that, you done off. It's a crapshoot.
I gotta say, I think that the key to a man's heart, I think the thing like this is how I look at it. You know, it's almost like when women are jealous, of the way a man views friendship. You know, a man has he has so many different friends, and it's hard for a lot of women to be friends like that and have different friends like that. And, you know, a lot of times women tend to, you know, to be envious of the way a man values friendship and, having so many friends, getting along with so many of his male counterparts and different things like that. But I think that, you know, the way we view things and the way we are, we're so logical and practical, and, you know, we're not so, it's not rocket science with us. You know, it's real simple. We want a woman that's gonna be very supportive. You know, we want a woman that's gonna give us that's gonna fulfill our intimate needs. You know, that's gonna be supportive and just be there, and not stress. You know, and just be that, you know, that positive entity, you know, that he needs in his life. You know, so, you know, the way to a man's heart is, you know, just, you know, just be supportive. Don't make everything difficult. You know, just make it real logical and simple for him, and just kind of follow his lead. You know, just kind of follow his lead. And I think that with that being said, you know, you wouldn't really have too many issues. Like I said, it's not rocket science with us. You know, we don't want to make it, you know, more difficult than it already is. You know, so just be simple with us. You know, I think that, you know those type of things and be very supportive. You know. You'd be amazed of what you know you can accomplish with that man.
Yeah. I definitely agree with both of you guys. My take on it would be just basically get to understand how your man thinks, what your man wants, and be that. I think it's a sense of security, knowing that he has no worries. Don't allow your man to worry. Just be his all, be his everything, and know that he has you in his corner. And I believe that you'll have a man's heart.
No doubt. Yeah. I got one. This is from Patrice. She asks, how long do you wait to have sex? How long do you wait to have sex? I guess I'll go with Leo first.
Okay. How long do you wait to have sex? I believe it depends on the two, and if you want to take a more biblical approach to it, wait until you're married. If you want it to be right, I wouldn't say too fast. But I don't think you can really put a time on it, to be honest. Just when that time's right. It could be second date. It could be second year. And, you know, it depends on the two, your chemistry and where you guys are mentally. If it's just a thing where, okay, I'm going to jump into this because I think this is what he wants. And if you're not really ready, it kind of messes up the blend and creates an offset type of feel. It just has to be right on both angles. it just has to be right. I don't think you can put a time on it.
I'm gonna answer the question that she asked, and then I'm gonna answer the question that she's really asking. So the question that she asked is, how long do you wait? And for me, it's until I'm tired of waiting. Simple. Then the answer that the question that she's really asking is, how long should she wait to have sex with a man to not lose him, but not have sex so soon that he loses respect for her? And as the brother said, you know, that's a real question she's asking. And his brother says, you can't put a time limit. That's totally on the dude. You have some dudes who might have been sexual active but have a spiritual nature who will respect a woman who wants to wait till you engage and marry. And then you got some dudes who are real gentlemen but don't give a dog about spirituality. And if you ain't giving it up within 5 minutes, you know, it becomes like, all right, you know, I'm going to stick around and hit it, and then I'm leaving. I know brothers who waited a year and hit it and left the day after, because their only thing was to get it. So, you know, women, there is no safe time. This is what women need to know. There's only two types of sex, marital and non-marital. And either you are giving it up outside of marriage or you ain't. And if you are, do it like a job. You don't tell everybody everything. You make them bring their resume to the table and prove they skill. Sex is like a job. People will lie on their resume to get it. And the more information give them, the more they'll lie. So if you're going to have sex before marriage or outside of marriage, have sex outside of marriage. Keep the criteria to yourself. And if a dude asks too many questions, then that's what he's there for. Because a brother who's there about you is going to wait. And if he gets tired, he's going to be like, you know what? He's just going to be up front with you and let you know. A brother who keep asking, that's what he wants, you know. And if you give it to him, you're the fool.
That's real. I'm gonna say this. I agree with Anthony. I think that's really what the question was. But I'm gonna say it like this. Again, I think it really just depends on, you know, it depends on you and that man that you're with. You know, I look at it like this. You know, I don't knock anybody who feels like that they want to have sex. You know, after they get married, there's nothing wrong with that. Me personally, I mean, I have three, you know, and with me, I think that there are three things that are the cause of divorce, you know, in marriages, you know, intimacy, finance, and infidelity. And I look at it like this, you know, there's nothing wrong with that if you want to wait till you marry. But I look at it like this. I feel like you might want to test the car before you drive it. You know, before you buy it, you might want to test drive the car before you buy it, because if you don't test drive it and you go out and buy it, and then later on you start feeling like, oh, this car don't fit me, I don't really like this car, things start happening. Now you know, you start finding out something's wrong with the car. Now you got an issue. Meaning that if you don't test drive it first, you know, the whole intimacy thing, then it could be a situation where you do wait. And boom, you find out, the sex ain't good, and now you may have an issue, or he may have an issue, and you know, it's just gonna further cause problems, you know, within your marriage. I always feel like you might want to just test drive it before you decide to buy it. That's just me. You know, that's how I look at it like that, and I agree. I think that, you know. You know, if you want to wait, more power to you. You know what you're getting into. If not, you know, like my man Ant said, you know, you put that criteria out there and you view that resume. You know, so, you know, it just really depends on, you know, ladies. It really just depends on you and that gentleman that you're with. I got one more that's rather interesting. And this question is, when is it a good time? You know, why do men in relationships, why do men tend to move away from the topic of moving in, and when is it the right time to move in? I'm going to go with Anthony on that one first.
Why do men don't like the topic of moving in? Because the first thing that we're thinking about is when we're going to have to move out. And again, men are very pragmatic. Hey, men are very pragmatic, man. Like when I used to talk to, before I got married, women talking about moving in, I'm like, I tell women, I don't live anywhere where my name is not on the lease. You know what I'm saying? And if we're together and my name is on the lease, I can't just walk out. And if I'm talking about putting it down like that, then I have to do more than just like you or want to be with you. I have to be saying, you know what? I have to make a commitment on a certain level to you that I can't walk away from. And a lot of times brothers just ain't there with you. You know, it's like, I like you. I could see you every day, but not in the same house, in the same bedroom, in the same kitchen every day. And women don't get that. Women don't separate the fact, if you want to see me every day, then you know. And it's like, listen, I go to school every day. That don't mean I want to live with my teachers. You know what I'm saying? I go to work every day. That don't mean I want to live with my boss.
Yeah, there's a lot of teachers out there that get down, bro.
That's another show. But it's like, for real, like, let's just be honest. Brothers don't like moving in, because if they wanted to move in, they'd have brought it up. And when
that's
you ask them about moving in, they're thinking about when they're going to have to move out. And when is the right time? It's like this. I tell people when they ask me, like, how do you know she's the right one? I said, when you don't ask that dumb question. So it's like, how do you know when it's time to move in? When you don't ask that dumb question. If there's not a doubt in your mind that y'all going to live together and he wants to live with you, that's when you bring it up. But most women ask because they don't know and they're looking for confirmation or validity, you know, somebody to validate it. Dude, if that's the case, keep it to yourself. Because a lot of times you set yourself up for heartache and heartbreak, and then all of a sudden the relationship changes because he told you no. It's not that he's breaking up with you. It's just like, I'm not moving in.
Or he said, baby, let me get back to you on that.
Yeah, and then never get back to you.
That's real. Elio, what you got on it, bro?
What I think, as far as time, man, is concerned, I don't even think you should have to ask, because if you do, it's not a comfortable situation. That was uncomfortable. When you going to move in with me? Now you're pressuring me. Now I'm skeptical about moving in with you. I don't think that's the question that should be asked, but sort of brought up in the spur in the moment. If you guys are feeling like you guys need to be together, things will grow together. You'll start coming over more, or you'll start, if it's a situation where you're living in a nice home and you want to move her in, it'll sort of transition in that way. But if you're going to go get a house or buy an apartment together, at that point, I think you guys should be married. I'm gonna just be honest. I don't know if two individuals in a household unmarried, it's chaotic. Y'all have drama, and I truly believe that. But that's my take on it. Yeah, it's a mutual thing. You guys have to be on the same level in it. As far as
the male, I mean, think about it. It's like nothing else works like that. You know, you don't just randomly in the middle of the day, if you just got finished eating, be like, "Are you hungry?" I mean, just to bring something up, it's like you bring it up in context. You know, and there has to be a context for it. Like, it was one time when I was in a previous relationship when I was staying at the girl's house so much that we were talking about moving in. I'm like, because I spend like 30 days a month here. You know, except for the month I got 31, and I'm paying rent at another place. And then it became a discussion, but it was because it was happening so much. It was like, why? When are you moving in? It's like, okay, exactly what are we doing? Because it's starting to look like we live together. And it was like he said, it was a natural progression in the conversation. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it should be. It shouldn't be out of the blue. Like, hey, you know, nice curtains. Let's go to Disney World. Are we moving in? It's like, no. like time out. Bring that back. You know, like, what's happening in your life that suggests that we're moving in or that we're to that point?
Right.
What clue did I give? motivation that is there in you that's justified by my actions, not just by your desires?
There it is. There it is, baby. Real men talking. Ladies, I'm telling you right now, we're going to be doing this, myself, Elio, Anthony. We'll be doing this every Tuesday, answering all the ladies' questions. And ladies, feel free. I mean, we've had ladies, you know, in the past call in and ask questions. If you want to ask your questions, ladies, definitely call us, 718-766-4553. Every Tuesday, make sure you give us a call, or you can post your questions on Facebook if you have questions, or even in the chat room, on our radio show chat room, and we'll definitely pose the question. We'll definitely give you our most detailed and honest answer that we can give you, and to help you with your particular question. But definitely, this is our number one segment on the DIY Radio Network on Tuesdays, Real Men Talking, and we get it in like this all the time. So, ladies, if you have questions, you know, feel free to ask, you know, every Tuesday when we get it in like this, and I will be more than happy to answer it for you. We got some music when we come back. We're going to close it out with myself, Elio, Anthony. Also, when we come back, Anthony will definitely give you guys some information about his book, The Relationship Cookbook, and where you guys can find that. So definitely make sure you guys don't go nowhere. This is Crystal Michaels. We got some Candace Glover. Don't go nowhere. It's going down on the Tuesday spot. You already know.
Looking back now, it's all just a blur. No, I couldn't believe it was her. She walked up in the place to stop by when she ain't ride with somebody else's man. There she go. Oh no, I can't believe she's hanging off both her shoes and her hair weave. Yelling, screaming, come on. And then she turns to me and said, do you got my back? And all I think is my stupid friend. I got your back, but embarrassing. You ain't got no common sense. I know you know her, my stupid friend. There she goes again, my stupid friend. Yeah, she's so dumb and embarrassing. She ain't got no common sense. I know you know her, my stupid friend. There she goes again. You can hear her before she walks in the room. Every man that you see, she's been talking to, and believes every word comes out of their mouth, goes her blouse, and now she's on her knees. Ooh, it's so sad they take advantage when they know that she ain't got no real sense. But they do regret when she takes revenge, 'cause everybody knows that she's so stupid.
My stupid friend, I got your back, but embarrassing that you ain't got no common sense. I know you're sore, my stupid friend. And she goes again.
She's all alone.
again.
Network Tuesday Spot, D Slay, Leo, Anthony in the building, getting in with you guys tonight, playing the hit, Miss Candace Glover, the reigning American Idol winner with her new single, Beautiful. Before that was Crystal Michaels with her hit single, Stupid Friend. Getting in like that as always on the Tuesday Spot. So I want to definitely send a big shout out to the beautiful Miss Catherine Norland for joining us tonight on the show. And definitely all the fit-ins, everybody that was listening and hanging out with us tonight. You think we got it in tonight, ladies and gentlemen? We're going to get it in like this every Tuesday on the Tuesday Spot. Myself, Leo, and Anthony, it's going to go down. I'm telling you right now, so make sure you guys keep tuning in. It's the closeout time right now. Definitely want to go around the room, you know, so we all, you know, can definitely give our closing remarks about tonight. Leo, what's your closing comments for tonight, bro?
Definitely a phenomenal show, and I just want to give everybody a heads up in the Philadelphia area. Wasted Wednesdays will be every Wednesday. It's just a happy hour, a social gathering. People can get together on a Wednesday, help you get through the week. And also September 1st, we're starting a movement, and it's called Stand Forward. So if you're on Facebook, you could just type in the search bar Stand Forward. Are either Divine Artistic United Society. There's going to be a bunch of artists, poets, fine artists of all kinds. We're going to get together and we're going to walk to a 3-mile walk to the Art Museum in Philadelphia and just paint. And basically, I know Miss Justice used to say it all the time, stand for something or fall for anything. And we're just showing Philadelphia and the community that as a youth, we do stand for something, and we're not just being washed away for our minority, the majority, just as a whole. We're going to start a movement, and it's called the Us is the Foundation, Divine Artistic United Society, and that's LEO, Live Every Day Optimistic.
No doubt. Definitely, Anthony, what's your closing comments for tonight, and tell everybody about your book and where they can find it.
Closing comments. Man, this is what we need. We need to have some honest conversation that's pointed toward action and not just, you know, rhetoric about what should we do and how should we do it. We should be putting down, like we did on the show, what some concrete things, some practical things that we can do so when people leave the conversation, they can go out and start acting on them and not just give theory and concepts. And my book, you can go to relationshipcookbook.com and order it, or you can go to Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, any place and order it. I prefer you order it from me because I get a bigger cut of the dough. And coming out October 1st will be the next installment. It's called True Game, How to Get Anybody You Want. And it is a psychological treatise teaching men how to deal with women and women how to deal with men. It is the follow-up to Relationship Cookbook. Relationship Cookbooks teach you how to prepare and maintain a relationship. True Game is going to teach you how to get that person you want and also teach you how to discern, you know, to get the person you need. So that's what's coming up.
That's real, relationshipcookbook.com. No doubt. That's real, and I'm gonna be all over that. So I already know the Relationship Cookbook is on hit. So I'm gonna definitely be all over that one as well. I just want to say another phenomenal show, as usual, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank my brothers Elio and Anthony for joining me tonight, and definitely join us every Tuesday on the Tuesday Spot. You know, we're gonna be getting it in, and you know, just having fun like this on the show, ladies and gentlemen. So just make sure you guys tune in every Sunday through Thursday and Saturday on the DIY Radio Network. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for Nod Your Head Wednesday, our premier hip-hop show with Brock Gunny, Samson, and RC getting it in. They're going to be talking with comedian G-Thang for the up and talking about the up-and-coming comedy show in Chicago at the Erie Crown Theater with Eddie Griffin, G-Thang, Grubman from The Martin Show, as well as Miss Kim Whitley. So definitely make sure you guys tune in tomorrow for that information. They also may have another special guest in the building Thursday. On Celebrity Thursday, myself, you know, Miss Fabulous, you know, Ray Cole, we're going to be getting it in with the beautiful Miss Claudette Ortiz from the group City High. Also, she's one of the divas on the new R&B Divas LA show, so definitely make sure you guys tune in this Thursday for that. And just keep it locked. Again, big shout-out to the beautiful Miss Catherine Norland for joining us tonight. Make sure you guys check her out, you know, CatherineNorland.com, or make sure September 10th you check out her new film, Reality Terror Night, her new horror film. And definitely make sure you guys, you can go to YouTube to check out the trailer, Reality Terror Night. I posted the trailer on Facebook, so you guys can check it out on my page as well. Again, another wonderful show. Blessings and big shout out to my brothers Elio and Anthony for joining me tonight. And getting it in as always, and make sure you guys please be safe. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday night. We'll see you guys next time. It's been a good one. As always, be blessed. Talk to you guys later.
Peace.
Tell me who the hottest in the town. Reaching your location, even places not around. Travel through your airways, stimulate your intellect, and you ain't even know. It's broadcasted from the internet. Giving you what you want, showing love to the hood, even to the burbs, so yeah, it's all good. No, they ain't like other stations, following the trend. 10 minutes later, the same song spins. It's a D-Hour show, yeah, I said it so you know. Coming first in any challenge, on your mark, set, go. If you're ready, let's roll. Let's hop aboard the Starship. The hottest station, showing love to underground artists. Yeah.